Now, Save Our Streets, we had a chat about this on the program yesterday. Save Our Streets, it's a BC-wide coalition which includes retailers and trade associations. They highlighted the growing problem of violence, theft, and vandalism in their businesses and in their communities. And Premier David Eby said he welcomed their efforts.
We have now 300 people across the province that are being monitored and supported in terms of trying to get between them and this cycle of criminal activity is causing such difficulty. The reason why I particularly welcome this group coming together is despite the fact that the legislation is passed Parliament federally, it's stuck at the Senate. We went to Ottawa to individually lobby senators to tell them how important these rule changes were to ensure that the public continues to have confidence in the criminal justice system. And it has not passed yet.
So that was BC's Premier David Eby speaking yesterday. And joining us now to share his legal perspective on this is Rob Danu, co-founding partner of Danu Dhaliwal Law Group in Abbotsford. Hi there and good afternoon to you.
Happy Halloween, Gloria. It's a pleasure to be here for this spooky topic.
Okay. I guess it is for some, because we did speak with a business owner from Nelson who came down specifically for the Save Our Streets press conference yesterday. She said these kinds of issues are definitely plaguing her community. So this fear and frustration about the violence, the theft and the vandalism, it has been growing lately. We've had a lot more discussions on the program. How do you respond to the claims that it's the justice system that's to blame for many crimes committed by a few people?
Well, I have a great deal of sympathy, first of all, for small business owners. Gloria, I'm a small business owner myself, and our building has been vandalized. But we need to put it into context as well. So let's just think about the fact that crime has actually been declining continuously since the 1990s. And in fact, even though anecdotally, random violent crime and property crime is up currently, it's still lower than the early 2000s. So the question is, if crime is up post-pandemic as compared to pre-pandemic, why? And you've hit the nail on the head, our politicians are pointing to our laws on bail. So then we have to follow that question up with asking ourselves, if the laws of bail have not changed, and fundamentally they have not changed since the pre-pandemic period, what has changed? So we have to take a look at what the root cause of the problem is, and that's where the focus has to lie.
Okay. Well, you heard the Premier just now pushing for this federal bill that's before the Senate right now. So in a nutshell, can you take us through what is this bill? What difference could it potentially make?
All right, so Bill C-48 is an expansion, essentially, of the reverse onus provision. So reverse onus means who has to convince the judge as to whether an accused person has to be detained or should be let free into the community, the Crown or the defense. And what Bill C-48 is going to do or proposes to do is to add certain conditions or expand reverse onus provision. So number one, they're going to have a judge consider the previous violent history of an offender. Number two, if there's a history of domestic violence, a judge should consider that. If it's a firearms type offense, a judge should consider that, as well as serious offenses involving weapons. The issue, however, is that substantively, really, it doesn't change anything in terms of how a Crown prosecutor or a defense lawyer does their job. Crown still makes those same submissions. If a person has a history of violence or firearms are involved, they will make those submissions that a person should not be released or should have appropriate conditions if they are released. And a defense lawyer, whether the onus is on them or not, is still going to bring the facts before the court as to why an accused person is safe to be released into the community. So substantively, it doesn't really change much.
Well, you used to be a Crown prosecutor, so what was your perspective on this issue then?
Oh, man, that's a long story, Gloria. But in a nutshell, I also drank the Kool-Aid. So I was a federal Crown prosecutor in the downtown east side, so in the thick of things. And at that time, I really believed in, you know, sending people to jail. It was a really black and white view of the world. And I thought that I was doing a lot of good by incarcerating individuals or asking for people to be incarcerated. What I found, however, was that when I would ask for 3 months jail and a judge would grant that, I would see that same offender again a few months later. And then I would ask for 6 months jail. And guess what? I saw that offender again. I'd ask for 9 and I saw that same offender again. So it was this vicious cycle where individuals were being incarcerated, but they weren't being helped.
Well, there are a lot of business owners that say we do need to address the mental health issues, the addiction issues, homelessness issues, but they say they need concrete action now. So how do you respond to those who say we can't wait for social programs to stem the tide?
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. So what we have to do, once again, and unfortunately, there is only long-term solutions to this ongoing problem. So there's five real factors that are at play, at least five factors. And I'll start with the ones that we know and we talk about all the time: homelessness, addiction, mental health. These are ongoing issues that we have not dealt with adequately. Now, we can add to that in the post-pandemic period, the economy. We're in an inflationary time. We're in a recessionary time. And we can add to that as well the impact that quarantining and the pandemic has had on mental health, on individuals and families. And I can say, certainly when I talk to teachers in schools, they say that there's behavioral issues. It's a lot tougher being a teacher today than it was before the pandemic. Things that we see today that were unheard of, all these individuals are going crazy on planes. Was this happening pre-pandemic? So we have to look at these issues. We have to have the adequate resources to address these issues. And unfortunately, it's a long-term fix. It's not a short-term fix.
Well, where would you even begin?
That is the $50 million question, Gloria. Where do you begin? Look, in terms of our government, they have a problem on their hands, and they understand that people are hurting out there. Small businesses are hurting. Individuals are hurting. They have to assure the public that the government is trying to do something. And this is why we have this attempt, or at least to reform bail. It's an easy fix. It's much more costly. It takes a lot more time to address those underlying significant issues that have been ongoing. So you begin by providing more resources for each of those issues and working at them slowly, unfortunately.
Well, where does the court system fit into the picture in your view, Rob?
Well, it does fit in, of course. The court system has a role to play, but the court system is not what is causing the current problem. So what we're doing is that we are now wasting time, we're spending money, and we're actually ignoring the real issues. So the court system has a role to play. The court system has to identify what the public is concerned about, what the safety concerns of the community are, and address those. The court system has to evolve with the times. However, changing bail is not going to deal with the underlying issues.
Okay, so how do you think governments will respond then? Again, we've heard from David Eby watching this one particular, legal issue. Do you expect to see action?
Well, I have a lot of sympathy for our current politicians, including David Eby. This is a very tough problem. It's a multi-pronged problem. So currently, we are putting our energies into bail reform. Unfortunately, if we're ignoring the real issue and we're diverting the public's attention from the real issue, we are going to end up very unsatisfied with the result.
Rob, listen, we really appreciate your legal expertise. I'm glad we've got your eyes on this as well. I think this is a story we just have to continue to follow because the problem's not going away. So thank you again.
Thanks, Gloria.